This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And we are joined this morning by our financial and retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial. Our telephone number, if you have questions, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Love to get your question on the air this morning. We are joined by CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas of Klaus Financial. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning, Sean. Doing great. How are you?
Doing really well. CJ, Malia, how have you been?
Very good. Did you know that today is National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day?
I didn't know that, but I do know that Dane, and maybe this is why it was in the news. The Dane County Humane Society has one adoptable pet currently available as of yesterday, and it was a horse.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard there's been a run on animals, and I thought, well, this is going to spark some interest today, but there's no animals to adopt.
No.
So.
Well, it's a good problem to have, that is for sure. And of course, CJ and Malia would love to answer your questions this morning. Love to get you on the air at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. They are our retirement planning professionals. They come to us from Klaus Financial, the website, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. A fantastic website. A lot of great information about Klaus Financial. Also an opportunity there to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a great thing. I signed up a couple of years ago. It's a nice weekly snapshot of what's going on in the markets. You get it once a week. Also a link to the most recent podcast as well. So if you missed part of today's show or you missed any of the previous shows, you can always get caught up. Again, just get to klausfinancial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaus Financial. It is complimentary. Again, their telephone number, 442-5637. Got a lot of ground to cover this morning. We're going to be talking about some different withdrawal strategies to consider. But before we get to that, mention the Klaus Quiz question of the week. One of the great things we'd like to do is review the previous week's question. Not only get the question, but get the answer as well.
Yeah, so last week we discussed Social Security, and the question was, how is Social Security funded? Is it through a payroll tax of 6.2% or 12.4%? So congratulations, shout out to John of McFarland, who called in with a correct answer, and all you listeners who called in, thank you so much. The correct answer was 12.4% combined is the payroll tax that comes in, the 6.2 from yourself and the 6.2 combined from your employer to make that 12.4%. So again, thanks for listening, everyone.
Fantastic information. We'll do another one this week. And Klaus Financial has offered up another fantastic prize, a chance to win a $25 gift card to Starbucks. Again, we'll do it a little bit later on in the program. Before we get rolling on this week's conversation, we've got a caller, Jerry. We've been talking for weeks, telling people call right away at 8 a.m. And you took that opportunity. Jerry, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas of Klaus Financial.
Thanks.
You had a question about the CARES Act?
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify some of these things I've been reading about with the, you know, where they suspended some of the, you know, regulation for this year on, like, required minimum, you know, withdrawals and how it would affect, you know, like, if you redeposit it and things like that.
Yeah, great question. So Jerry is asking about the CARES Act that was passed this past March by Congress. There are actually a number of different stipulations tied to it. For those who want kind of a highlight of the top five or six key factors of the CARES Act, we actually wrote a piece on this and put it up on our website. You can go to our website, click the little search feature, and type in CARES Act, and you'll get the summary. However, at a quick high level, required minimum distributions were suspended for this year for anybody who's RMD age, or even beneficiaries of inherited retirement accounts. You do not have to pull out your minimum distribution in the year of 2020, which could be a big deal for some, although it's just a one-year bypass at this point. It doesn't extend into 2021. The other thing is that there's also what are called COVID-related distributions that are allowed, which just simply means that if you can prove that you were somehow impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, then you could make up to $100,000 distribution from a retirement account, even if you're under the age of 59 and a half, and you could avoid the penalty. You would still have taxes, of course, but you could avoid the penalty. And then the third kind of key component, although there's probably a dozen of them, but I'll give you three today. The third one would be the ability to take out an excess loan. So most employers are adopting the provision to be able to take out up to $100,000 loan from your 401k plan if you have that much money to take a loan from, which used to be a limit of $50,000 pre the CARES Act. So those are a few provisions. Does that answer your question, Jerry?
What I wanted to know specifically was if a person did qualify and took out, you know, the early withdrawal and, you know, the forego the, you know, that penalty for now and whatnot, I was trying to understand, because it had said if you redeposited it back into that IRA or another IRA, is that true or does that work?
It is. Yeah, it is. So, Jerry, the way it used to work, let's say you qualified for a COVID-related distribution. You took money out. Again, that's the key here, is you have to qualify, and there are some stipulations on that. You qualified, took out, I don't know, let's just say $50,000. Typically, if it was not a COVID-related distribution, you would only have 60 days to redeposit the money back in to avoid the tax and penalty. But in this case, if it was COVID-related, you actually have up to 3 years to redeposit the funds back in to avoid tax. So again, really, if you're qualifying for the COVID, you're already bypassing the penalty if you're under age 59 and a half by definition of the CARES Act. But the extra provision is that you have up to 3 years to refund that to effectively bypass the taxation of it. How many people are going to do that, Jerry? Between you and me, I think it's going to be very few and far between. Because those that are really going to take advantage of it are probably not going to have the cash to put the money back in, but it is there just in case they do end up with the cash, you know, a year from now and they want to put it back in, or 2 years from now. This does require some amendments of tax returns, by the way, because as you can imagine, you are claiming it as income and paying tax in the year. So if 2 years, 3 years from now, you go and redeposit the funds, the good news is you can. The bad news is you have to amend the prior returns. A lot of complexity here, but hopefully that's what you were looking for.
Jerry, great call. Thank you for your time this morning. And you too can be like Jerry if you've got questions for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Give us a call right now. We'll get you on the air at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Our toll-free number, 877-235-1310. Kloss Financial, their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 442-5637. So as we're getting ready to do some planning for retirement, what are some of the different withdrawal strategies we should be considering?
Yeah, this is a really important topic. Malia and I thought it would be good to go through a few high-level strategies that some of our clients or even other financial advisory firms use to help clients create income in retirement. This is especially important since baby boomers, which is the generation born between 1946 and 1964, they're retiring at a rate of around 10,000 per day in the United States. So every day, right, about 10,000 baby boomers are retiring. So today we're going to highlight a few ways that you can generate income in retirement. And of course, the goal is fairly simple. It's to, number one, distribute your income in a way that you don't run out of money in retirement. Number two, create some flexibility in your plan that can adjust with your own situation. And then number three, take risks into consideration. Okay, so here's a few common strategies. Number one, one of the most popular retirement income strategies is known as a systematic withdrawal strategy of your money from your existing portfolio. With this strategy, a fixed or variable amount is withdrawn at regular intervals. In one case, you would only withdraw the income, such as dividends or interest, created by the underlying portfolio. Of course, the good news of this is that you're leaving your principal intact, and this does prevent you from running out of money, of course. But it also means you may not keep up with inflation. It may mean that your income changes dramatically year to year as your dividends and interest change year to year. And this approach only touches the income and not the principal. So both a pro and a con. It's one reason why some people will say to you, try to find a high dividend yielding portfolio in retirement, because then you don't have to sell so much of your underlying securities. By the way, we could have an entire 3-hour debate on that particular topic. We would focus more on total return than just dividends, but we get that there are some dividend lovers out there. And truth be told, we're somewhat indifferent. It's just you need to be generating income. Another strategy would be that works well with the systematic withdrawal strategy is the 4% rule. We have talked a lot about the 4% rule here on this show, which is, you know, you have a $1 million portfolio, you draw 4% out of that portfolio, that's $40,000 per year. And then assuming a 3% inflation rate, the next year you would draw $41,200. And this concept was actually developed back in 1994 by William Bengen. And it was focused on looking at historical data of the markets. And if you had a balanced portfolio, what was your probability of success? And they found that the 4% rule under most circumstances succeeded. However, let me just put a really big warning, a warning shot across the bow of all our listeners out there. Without the appropriate empirical data on this, without the contextual understanding of how to apply this to your particular circumstances, the 4% rule can be wildly dangerous. Because some people just misapply it. They say, I'm going to retire at 50 and just draw out 4% with inflation adjustment every year. That's too early, actually. 4% rule was looking at an average retiree at 65, dying at about 80. It doesn't work if you start too early. Others will misinterpret and not understand that there's an inflation adjustment. Others will think the 4% rule applies to a cash portfolio, and it does not. So the long and the short of it is 4% rule can be a guide, but it should not be the ultimate rule unless you're going to be working with an advisor who can make tactical adjustments to that along the way as your life and as your portfolio changes. And then finally, there's what's known as dynamic withdrawal strategies. And essentially, it means that unlike the relatively inflexible 4% rule, you would alter your withdrawal amount when, for example, investment returns are substantially different than expected. Dynamic strategies can allow you to spend more money when market returns support it, up to a ceiling that you set in advance. Of course, when market returns are substantially down, your withdrawal amount may be less than you're accustomed to. But again, that's the whole point of it being a dynamic withdrawal strategy. And then finally, with the dynamic withdrawal strategy, often guardrails are sometimes put in place to make sure you don't take too much or too little from your account. And one of those guardrails involves limiting withdrawals if they represent too large a portion of the total nest egg. So Malia is going to talk about a couple more here, but there's three. One is systematic withdrawal of just dividends and interest. The second is the 4% rule. And the third is a dynamic withdrawal strategy.
Really good information. We'll get some more details. We'll hear about something called the bucket strategy that you may have heard of and some others. We'll do all of that next. Also, we'd love to hear from you here at the station. You have questions for CJ and Malia, give us a call right now. We'll get you in and on the air at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Telephone number at Kloss Financial. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss. It's 442-5637. That's 442-5637. And online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A. financial.com. We'll continue our conversation with Malia, CJ, and you next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
You're listening to Money in Motion with Sean Preble and Kloss Financial.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Talking with our retirement planning professional CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. Don't forget that first appointment with Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Their telephone number, 442-5637. Talking about some of the different withdrawal strategies to be considering. CJ had a few there, and we left off with the potential to talk about something called the bucket strategy. So let's talk a little bit about when it comes to a time segmentation strategy. What exactly is that, Malia?
Yeah, so time segmentation strategy. that's okay. Otherwise known as a bucket strategy. So we like to throw out what we're really talking about. People usually have heard the term buckets. And really what you're doing there is you're taking your retirement savings and putting it into separate accounts or buckets based on your goals. So it really reminds me of, you know, we were taught as you're raising children to have different envelopes in the house, and you're putting your savings in one envelope, you're spending money, and then I don't know what the other envelope was, because I don't know that people, you know, the kids didn't have bills, so I don't know, you know, where that comes into place. But for the bucket strategy, essentially what you're doing is you're looking at an emergency savings account, so to speak, a living expense account, and finally a long-term savings. So your first two buckets might include 3 to 5 years worth of living expenses, whereas your long-term account can perhaps have more aggressive investments, which will continue to grow long-term for you and are not counted on to provide your short-term income. This is really a key point because as you look at it, your exposure to investment risk is a little less because you're not having to sell stock when the market is down. You'll have cash on hand to pay your everyday living expenses, which can protect your savings over the long haul. So as you use that cash from the first bucket, you replenish it with earnings from the second and third buckets. But the key here is it's not quite as simple as it sounds. You've got to still figure out a safe withdrawal strategy from those buckets and understand that there is going to be risk in at least your more aggressive bucket. And the flexibility, because as we all see, life changes, emergencies happen in our families, and perhaps you're going to have to make some adjustments. Another strategy is the flooring retirement income strategy. And this kind of opposes investment and risk management style of what CJ described as a systematic withdrawal strategy. This one actually prioritizes your spending goals. And those spending goals looks at your needs and your wants, which can obviously be challenging. We have that discussion at my house quite a bit about what are real needs and what are actually wants. So figuring out what those are as you enter retirement are important. So needs, obviously, you're going to have income for taxes and housing and food and healthcare expenses. And by the time you're done with that list, that's usually 80%. So figuring out what those needs are. So the foundation of this strategy is to create a floor of income, a foundation. And that floor can be created, of course, by your Social Security, perhaps pensions. You may have some annuities or perhaps your laddering bonds. So again, all of those different classes can work towards creating this foundation. So the upside to this strategy is it offers you security to those people who are more risk adverse because they know that their basic needs, so to speak, are covered by that foundation. But the downside to the strategy is that when you're buying a secure retirement income, you're oftentimes giving up returns for safety. So the likelihood is that overall, you're going to decrease your wealth as compared to a total return systematic withdrawal strategy. We want you to just be familiar with these different opportunities out there as you sit down with your financial planner and figure out what makes sense for your situation.
Really good guidance. Great information. We'll continue our conversation with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. Still got time if you've got a question to get you on the air at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Of course, our retirement planning professionals, Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss, come to us from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Take more of your calls. We'll wrap things up as far as some other things to remember when it comes to these retirement strategies. We will also do the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. All of that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. Don't forget you can find them online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. If you got a question, you give us a call. We'll get you on the air right now at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. And Al joins us this morning. Al, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering about, it's related to what you're talking about. You didn't talk about them specifically, but I'm thinking about annuities. Specifically, it's a guaranteed life income annuity and how you guys feel about those or what reaction I can get from you about these?
Yeah, it's a great question, Al. So we've talked about annuities on the show before. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website and go to our Money in Motion podcast and just, again, type in annuities, I think we've done four or five different shows on them. I would say, you know, first things first, you just have to be careful because you're buying a long-term product and making, you know, decisions that are going to last the next 15 or 20 years are difficult. Just like you know, choosing your pension for that matter, your pension distribution option is difficult because that becomes irrevocable after 60 days. So it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means you have to be careful with it. But yeah, as a matter of fact, if you're careful with the kind of annuity you get, so you're talking about I think what you're talking about is an immediate annuity that would generate income for you, a lot like a pension. Those can be really invaluable. They can act like a pension for people who don't have much guaranteed income in retirement. So if it's the right kind, if it's structured in the right way, if it's not overly expensive, if it doesn't have long-term lockups, certain types of annuities can be very beneficial for generating guaranteed lifetime income, which of course, you know, a stock portfolio just can't do, right? They're not going to be able to say this is guaranteed lifetime income like an annuity could. So there's general feedback. Now, again, I would really suggest you talk to your financial professional, talk to your accountant, whoever you rely on to do some analysis for you to figure out if that's in your best interest. But there's my thoughts.
Al, great. Right. Thank you for the call. Al, let's go now to Brian. Brian, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Quick question for you regarding, you had talked about one of the strategies being maybe a short-term income bucket, use the term bucket 3 to 5 years, and then kind of the longer-term, more growth, higher risk. Two questions on that. How often, let's say it's a 5-year more conservative income bucket, how often should we refill that or, you know, sell the more aggressive investments? How often should we do that? And then secondly, you mentioned that 4% strategy. Would that 4% be of the total, and then you would just take that from that what you call 3 to 5 year bucket and draw it down?
Yeah, great question. So the general response to your question about that 4% rule and the buckets is yes. But let me give a little more context. So it's really more of a 3 to 7 year bucketing strategy. So some people call this laddered income, but effectively something that is not taking on overall market risk. It's not going to give you much return. But you know, imagine if right now you had a 7 year bucketed income portfolio, say it was all in AAA corporate bonds, you wouldn't really be that concerned about the long-term growth one, even if it was down 30%, because you go, well, I've got 7 years of solid income or 5 years of solid income in this low to no risk bond portfolio. So that's the concept, is behaviorally, it allows you to sleep at night. Now, as Malia said, that means you've got a lot of money out of the market, right? So effectively, the net result may be that you get a lower overall return. However, it can really help with behavior management. So how often do you refill the bucket? The answer is actually, it is not a like formulaic a situation. Instead, it's more based upon the circumstances. So an example would be you fill a bucket with 7 years, you're 2 years into the 7 years, the market goes through a tank. Of course, you're not going to refill it then. 3 years later, you're down to your final 3 or 4 years, but then the market is soaring back up, you would then clip off returns because you've got the opportunity to. Or conversely, 4 years into it, the market has not gone through a recession yet. Now you've only got 3 years left on your income, then you would clip off and refill the bucket. So it's more a byproduct of where you are in an overall market cycle and how much that growth bucket has actually grown to refill. And then, yes, the overall target is still going to be in that 4 to 5% of the overall portfolio is what you're trying to generate out of it. Does that make sense?
Sure does. I kind of long for the days of 10% CDs. Then we'd be all
set. He's talking about the Reagan administration days in the 1980, 1981. Yeah, CD. However, remember, that was a double-edged sword because your mortgage was also at 14, 15%. So,
Brian, great question this morning. Great questions all around. We'd love to hear from you every week on Money in Motion. Don't forget, you can always call right at 8 o'clock. Get you right on the air like Jerry did this morning with your question. Before we get to the Kloss Quiz Question Week, real quick, some closing thoughts on this week's conversation.
Well, I think CJ just pointed out something really important, is that review your income strategy at least once a year. So markets rise and fall, your situation changes. You may have to revamp your strategy. So none of this is set in cement. You need to review it. You need to factor in taxes. Remember that your portfolio is usually comprised of a lot of pre-tax savings accounts, and you'll be paying income tax on that money. And maybe you're going to be drawing income from Roth IRAs or situations after-tax income. So keep that in mind. Also look at your RMD distribution. This isn't going to happen until you're 72 years old, but that may be part of your income withdrawal strategy. And our number one thing we talk about every single week is eliminate almost all of your debt prior to retirement. This really will affect your income strategy, because if you don't have as many fixed expenses, meaning debt, you're going to be in much better shape.
Great guidance, great advice as always. Time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You'll then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you'll win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Starbucks. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: at what rate are baby boomers born between 1946 and 1964 retiring per day? Is it 5,000 per day or 10,000 per day? Telephone number 442-5637. First call with correct answer will win that $25 gift card for Starbucks. Don't forget as well that is Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. Again, their number 442-5637 and online, klossfinancial.com. CJ, Malia, you guys have a fantastic week.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sean.
Take care, guys. Dr. Hemkiss is in next with Advocate MD.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.